Chapter 3. The Mid-Hudson Public Library was a small, squat building not far from the train station. Its parking lot was empty, as was the lot for the tiny auditorium next to it. When humans had lived in the town, the little library had been a bustling community center. Now that they were gone, it was lonely and dark. It reminded Sabrina of the westerns her mother loved to watch on television. They all seemed to be set in the same barren ghost town. The library had the same abandoned feel. She expected tumbleweeds to roll by at any moment. Puck lowered the girls to the ground outside the library's front door, and his wings tucked themselves back under his hoodie. He sniffed the air and crinkled up his nose. "I smell books," he said, repulsed. "That's probably because this is a library," Sabrina said, rolling her eyes. "It's full of books." "No way! Why didn't you warn me?" "What did you think a library was?" Daphne asked. "I don't know," Puck cried. "I was hoping it was a place where men fought tigers with their bare hands. I should have known better. You guys never want to do anything fun." "Oh, you're not going to be bored in here," Daphne said. "Yeah, I'm warning you in advance," Sabrina said to the fairy boy. "You need to stay alert in here. The librarian is sort of unpredictable." "We should have brought the football helmets," Daphne said to her sister. Sabrina nodded. "You're right. We keep forgetting." "You two are teasing me," Puck complained. "Fine, don't believe us," Sabrina said. "You'll see soon enough." She led them through the front door. Inside, the library was a disastrous mess. Books, magazines, and newspapers lay scattered about the floor as if a cyclone had blown them off their shelves. Everywhere she looked, Sabrina saw piles of papers and overturned chairs, but not a single soul. Puck's face turned green, as if he was about to be sick. "Look at all the learning," he moaned. "I'm going to lose my lunch." Sabrina grabbed his hand and pulled him down an aisle lined with packed bookshelves. "Let's just find what we're looking for and get out of here. If we're lucky, we won't have to see the librarian at all." Daphne took one side and Sabrina took the other, scanning the titles as they walked and hoping they might stumble upon a book of international flags. They found nothing, so they headed up another aisle. As they searched, Puck gagged. "Can you give it a rest?" Sabrina asked. "The smell is horrible. Books reek," Puck cried. "It's so bad, I can almost taste them." "Stop being a baby," Daphne said. Her tone startled Sabrina. She had never heard the little girl scold anyone, especially Puck. Daphne usually thought everything he said or did was hilarious. Worse still was the expression on her sister's face. Daphne was impatiently rolling her eyes again. It was the rudest thing Sabrina had ever seen her do, and it made her furious. She was just about to give her sister a lecture on manners when she heard someone whistling happily from across the room. Sabrina groaned. The librarian had found them. "Is that the lunatic you were talking about?" Puck said, searching for the owner of the whistle. Sabrina nodded. "Remember what we told you. Stay on your toes." "Hello!" the librarian cried as he appeared from around a shelf. He was holding a towering stack of books that reached several feet over his head. "It's the Grimm sisters. You know, since the last time you were here, I was thinking how clever and funny your name is. The Sisters Grimm. Oh, that's fun. Like the Brothers Grimm, only girls." "Yes, it's hilarious," Sabrina said, forcing a smile on her face. "Do you need any help?" "Everything is under control," the librarian said. But his words did not reflect reality. With each step, the tower of books swayed back and forth. Convinced that the stack would topple over and crush them at any moment, Sabrina shuffled the group to the left, then to the right. It seemed as if no matter what direction they moved, the swaying books followed. "I suppose you are hot on the trail of another mystery," the librarian continued, unaware of the impending disaster.
"Are you sure you don't need a hand?" Daphne asked.
"I'm hunky-dory," the librarian claimed. But he was wrong. The top book in his stack slipped off. The librarian's right leg darted out, and the book landed on his foot before it hit the ground. He stood balanced on one leg, yet perfectly content. With one foot holding the book, the odd gentleman was forced to hop up and down on his free leg toward the information desk. Unfortunately, his hopping made the tower drift even farther, keeping Sabrina, Daphne, and Puck on the move to avoid the avalanche. Just as the librarian reached the desk, a banana peel slipped out of his pocket. "Oh, I'm losing my lunch," he cried. Sabrina sighed, knowing full well what was about to happen. She'd seen the same thing the last time they had visited the librarian, except then it had been an orange peel. She watched, helplessly, as he stepped on the banana peel and went flailing forward, showering the children with heavy books and knocking them to the ground. Sabrina caught one right between the eyes and saw little stars explode in front of her face. Puck managed to snatch his sword and bat the books away. Then he brushed himself off frantically, as if the books had been poisonous spiders. "Get them off me!" he shouted. "Oh, my, clumsy me!" the librarian cried as he struggled to his feet. He tried to help the children up, but stepped on the banana peel again and lost his footing once more. This time he did a complete somersault in midair and landed flat on his back. When he got to his feet, Sabrina could see his true ever-after form. Hay sprang from the collar and sleeves of his red plaid shirt. A dusty old hat sat on his head, and his kindly face was nothing more than an old burlap sack with eyes, nose, and mouth crudely painted on it. He was the Scarecrow, made famous in L. Frank Baum's Oz books. Watching the face, with its moving mouth and blinking eyes, was too much for Sabrina's sensitive stomach, and like Puck, she suddenly felt nauseated. She had to avert her eyes when Scarecrow talked, just to keep her lunch in her belly. She knew it was rude, but not as rude as barfing all over the card catalog. She wondered if she'd ever get used to seeing such strange things. Puck leaped into the air. His wings kept him high above the piles of books. He darted around the librarian like an annoying gnat. "You're a Scarecrow," he said. "Actually, I'm the Scarecrow, accomplished thinker, former Emperor of Oz, and head librarian of the Mid-Hudson Public Library." Puck eyed the man closely. "But you're made out of hay, right?" "Yes, and a brain. The great and terrible Oz gave it to me before he flew away in his balloon."
"Someone gave you a brain?" Puck asked. "I'm actually jealous. Whose was it before you got it?"
"I'm not sure what you mean," Scarecrow stammered.
"The brain! Oz had to have gotten it somewhere. I bet it was a deranged killer's. Those are the easiest to get."
The Scarecrow stifled a scream.
"My brain was brand new."
"As if," Puck said. "I know Oz, and he never bought anything that wasn't on sale. I'm sure your brain is secondhand."
The Scarecrow looked as if he might have a nervous breakdown, so Sabrina stepped in to change the subject. "We're looking for a friend who is overseas. We have a street address and a flag, but not a city or a country."
"Well, you came to the right place,"
the librarian exclaimed as he got himself under control. "Tell me about this flag of yours."
"It's red, with a big golden lion in the center," Daphne said. "The lion has wings and is guarding a castle on a hill. There are all these vines on the border and little saints in the corners, too."
Scarecrow rubbed his burlap chin, thought for a moment, and then his eyes lit up.
"I've seen that flag."
He raced off, leaving the children behind. They chased the Scarecrow through the stacks and caught up with him in the back of the library. He was already climbing up a big bookcase, reaching for a book on the very top. The bookcase was not mounted to the wall and was teetering back and forth under the Scarecrow's weight.
"Does anyone else see where this is going?" Sabrina sighed.
She remembered seeing the movie The Wizard of Oz when she was a child. The Scarecrow was such a klutz, Sabrina would giggle whenever he was on screen. The real flesh and hay Scarecrow wasn't much different,
but the pratfalls weren't as endearing. Perhaps she was getting older and had less patience for such silliness, or maybe, she suspected, the Scarecrow was just annoying. "I think I know why Dorothy wanted to go back to Kansas," Sabrina muttered to herself. Despite the Scarecrow's weight, the shelf did not topple over, but that didn't mean Sabrina and Daphne were safe. The Scarecrow kept tossing down the books he didn't need. The tumbling volumes were encyclopedias, and the children darted around like they were trapped in a whack-a-mole game. "Here it is," the Scarecrow cried, just before he fell off the shelf and landed in a heap on the floor. Without missing a beat, the librarian sprang to his feet and opened the book. Inside were pictures of flags from all over the world. He flipped through the pages until he found a flag that looked just like the one the girls had seen hanging from the Hotel Cipriani's banister. "Is that it?" Daphne and Sabrina nodded. "That's the flag of a city called Venice," the Scarecrow said, quite proud of his discovery. "It's a lovely place built on 117 islands connected by 150 canals. In Venice, you don't hail a cab, you hail a boat called a gondola, because many of the roads are actually waterways. The population is roughly 250,000 people. The average annual rainfall is 34 inches. The major industry is tourism, and the region's biggest exports are textiles, clothing, glass, paper, motor vehicles, chemicals, minerals, and non-ferrous metals." Sabrina prepared for Daphne to ask for the definition of non-ferrous. She herself had no idea what it meant. But much to Sabrina's surprise, the little girl took a pocket dictionary from her purse and looked up the word on her own. "Non-ferrous is a metal containing little or no iron," she announced. Sabrina grabbed the dictionary. "What's this? What does it look like?" Daphne said, rolling her eyes. Sabrina could feel her face tighten up. How dare Daphne roll her eyes at her? "Now, how about that hotel?" the Scarecrow asked, interrupting the argument. "It's called Hotel Cipriani," Daphne said, since Sabrina was still too angry to talk. "Sounds like that language they speak over there," Scarecrow said. "What's it called? You know, the language they speak in Italy?"
Italian?" Daphne asked.
"Bingo!" Scarecrow raced back through the library to where travel books for places all around the world were kept. Soon the girls were caught in another hailstorm of books. Copies of Fodor's Guide to Oz, Frommer's Lilliput, Lonely Planet's Narnia, and The Complete Idiot's Guide to Neverland flew at them. After some very close calls, Scarecrow snatched a book off a shelf and held it triumphantly above his head. "Here it is!" In his excitement, he lost his balance and nearly fell off the bookcase. He managed to hold on with one hand, but he struggled to regain his footing.
"Oh, yeah, that's a second-hand brain for sure," Puck said, flying down to the girls' level. "Oz was such a prankster."
"Have you forgotten that Oz tried to kill us?" Sabrina said.
"You can be a homicidal madman and hilarious at the same time, you know," Puck said, right before the bookcase tipped over and came crashing down, burying him in a mountain of books.
"Boy, am I accident-prone today," the librarian said.
"The books! They're touching me!" Puck groaned. "They're all over me!"
"We'll get this off you in no time," the Scarecrow said. Working together, he and the girls lifted the heavy shelf off Puck. When he got to his feet, Sabrina noticed he had blotchy red marks on his arms and legs, and his face had swollen to the size of a pumpkin.
"I'm allergic!"
he cried as he scratched his arms and legs furiously. He reached for the wooden sword he kept at his waist. Sabrina was sure Puck was going to attack the clumsy Scarecrow, but instead he used his weapon to scratch the areas of his back that he couldn't reach.
"Whoever had your brain before you was evil," Puck muttered.
Scarecrow frowned, but then he spotted a book on the floor and his burlap face lit up.
"Hey, here's the book."
He grabbed a large volume off the floor, then opened it and flipped through the pages.
"This is a travel guide to Italian hotels. Travel books don't get checked out much.
There aren't too many vacationers from Ferryport Landing. Oh, here it is. The Hotel Cipriani. It has a 5-star rating. Very swanky.
Is there an address for the hotel?
Sabrina asked, remembering her uncle's specific request.
Absolutely. The listing says it's at Giudecca 10 in Venice,
Scarecrow said.
They put the building number after the street name in a lot of European countries.
Is there anything else you need to know?
I'm not sure we'd survive any more of your help,
Daphne grumbled.
Thanks a lot.
No thanks is necessary,
Scarecrow said, ignoring Daphne's comment.
Learning something new is thanks enough, though I could use a hand reshelving some of these books.
The Scarecrow strolled away, leaving the shelf and the books where they fell. Puck fired insults at him as the librarian walked away.
I know Oz. He's a liar. I wouldn't be surprised if your brain wasn't made out of an old sock and some butterscotch pudding. I'm talking to you, Mr. Genius. You should call Oz and get the receipt for your brain. I'm sure the warranty has expired.
We tried to warn you,
Daphne said, as she picked up a travel guide to Camelot and put it back on a shelf.
We tried to warn you,
Puck mocked as he scratched furiously.
Oh, I can smell the books on my skin.
Though Puck refused, Sabrina and Daphne decided to help the Scarecrow with the mess he made. After an hour, they were regretting their decision.
Books are heavy,
Daphne grumbled as she reshelved a series of increasingly thick novels about a boy who went to a school for wizards.
I know. Can't they write these things smaller?
Sabrina said.
Excuse me,
a voice said from behind them. Sabrina hadn't heard anyone approach and nearly screamed when she turned around. Standing before her was the strangest-looking man she had ever seen. He wore an expensive-looking white suit, and his fingers were adorned with silver and ruby rings. On his wrist was a diamond-studded watch, and in his ears were small silver hoop earrings. But what really made him stand out was his hair. His long, curly beard and bushy eyebrows were an unnatural shade of blue.
"Do you work here?" he asked.
Sabrina shook her head, speechless.
No, we're just helping out the librarian,
Daphne said. The little girl stammered a bit, obviously disturbed by the man as well. The man with the blue hair frowned and looked about.
That fool will be no help. I don't suppose you can point me to the law books.
Sabrina shrugged.
Sorry.
I'll find them myself.
The man huffed and walked farther into the library. Sabrina looked after him. There was something troubling about this stranger. She felt as if there was evil rather than blood pumping through his veins. His hair and glaring eyes seemed inhuman, like he was the devil made flesh.
Do you know who that was? That's Bluebeard,
Puck said as he pulled the girls behind a shelf.
He's got to be the most villainous ever after in this town.
I thought you were the most villainous ever after in this town,
Sabrina said.
Besides me,
Puck said as he peered around the corner.
He's a recluse. I hear he has a mansion up on Mount Taurus, but no one has seen him in years. I heard Charming told him to stay out of town. I guess now that there's a new mayor, he's doing what he wants. So what? Who's Bluebeard?
Sabrina asked impatiently. Puck wrapped his hand around her mouth.
Shh,
he whispered, then turned back to watch the man.
Bluebeard is famous for being married almost 50 times, and each of his wives had a nasty habit of losing her head.
You mean he drove them crazy?
Daphne asked.
No, I mean he chopped their heads off with an axe, duh.
Puck snapped.
Gross,
Daphne said, peering around the corner to get a better look at the man.
That's only half of it,
Puck said.
He stored his wives' bodies in a secret room in his home. He used the room to test his new wives. He forbade them from entering it, and if curiosity got the best of them, he added them to his collection.
If he's so evil, why are we standing here watching him?
Sabrina said.
'cause I'm trying to get up the courage to go over and ask him for an autograph," Puck said.
Sabrina watched Bluebeard study a shelf holding several leather-bound books. He took a few large volumes off the shelf and put them on a nearby table. When he had a big pile, he sat and started flipping through them and taking notes.
"What do you think he's doing here?" Daphne asked.
No one knew, and it was clear that they shouldn't stick around to find out. The man made Sabrina nervous. Even from across the library, she could feel the darkness inside him. It felt hot and angry. Unfortunately, before they could leave, they were stopped in their tracks by a familiar face. Snow White had several books in her hands, and she set them down at an empty table near where Bluebeard was studying. Snow White was stunning, with creamy white skin, coal black hair, and twinkling blue eyes. Her beauty was so profound it seemed unnatural, as if she didn't belong to the human race.
"Should we say hi?" Daphne whispered.
Snow White had been a good family friend, but none of the Grimms had heard a peep from her in more than a month. She was very angry with Granny Relda, so angry that their friendship was in ruins. Granny had let Snow's former fiancé, Prince Charming, sleep on the family couch when everyone thought he was missing and maybe dead. Snow, heartbroken with fear and worry, felt betrayed when she discovered he was safe and sound and hiding in her best friend's home. Sabrina couldn't blame Ms. White. Charming should have told her where he was, but he claimed Snow's life was in danger. He wanted to save her without her knowing it. But his plan blew up in everyone's face when Snow dropped by unexpectedly and discovered him alive and well. Unfortunately, the beauty's arrival at the library was noticed by Bluebeard as well. Snow White's presence tore his attention away from his books. He seemed hypnotized by her. He studied her the way an art collector looks at a rare painting. His gaze didn't fall on her so much as it seemed to reach out for her, coaxing her to come closer. Sabrina was reminded of a film she had seen in school about spiders catching flies in their webs, then eating them from the inside out. "Snow White," Bluebeard said, standing up from his table. Snow turned to face him, her ever-present smile lighting up the room. When she saw him, her grin faded.
"Oh, hello, Mr. Bluebeard."
"Snow, I haven't seen you in years. You're looking wonderful," Bluebeard said as his eyes darted over her body.
"Thank you," the teacher muttered.
Sabrina could tell Ms. White was nervous. The beauty dropped one of the books she was holding. Bluebeard swooped down and retrieved it, but he didn't hand it back, ignoring Snow's outstretched hand.
"It's such a small town, but I never run into you like this," Bluebeard continued.
"Well, I keep quite busy."
"Oh, it's good to be busy. Keeps the mind from wandering," the man said. "You know what they say, idle hands are the devil's playground."
Sabrina watched Snow force a smile onto her face and nod.
"We really don't get to see enough of each other," Bluebeard continued. "Perhaps I can persuade you to accompany me to dinner. I'd love to catch up, as they say."
Ms. White squirmed.
"I'm afraid I'm very busy."
Bluebeard's eyes flashed with anger.
"You're saying no to me?"
Snow stood up, knocking her books to the ground, but Bluebeard shoved her back into her chair.
"I'm trying to be nice, Ms. White," he hissed.
"We have to stop this," Daphne declared.
"What do you want to do?"
Sabrina asked. Daphne was about to march up to them and interrupt when Puck grabbed her by the back of the collar. He murmured,
"Listen, this isn't a guy you play around with. If you go over there and get into his business, he'll turn his anger on you."
"She needs our help," Daphne said.
Sabrina glanced around, looking for something that might distract Bluebeard. All she saw were books and rows of shelves. They couldn't exactly start tossing books at a man who cut people's heads off. Then she spotted the Scarecrow. He was at the top of a bookcase halfway across the room, and as before, the case was teetering back and forth. Sabrina got an idea.
Help me push this bookcase over,
Sabrina said. She pushed on the frame, and it leaned a little. With Daphne and Puck helping, it was soon rocking back and forth, but with all the books weighing it down, the bookcase seemed like it might fall back and collapse on them.
I think we need a little something extra, Sabrina said to Puck.
The boy grinned, spun around on his heels, and in a flash he morphed into a bull with long white horns. He huffed and stomped his feet.
We should get out of his way,
Sabrina said, pulling her sister aside. With a bellow and a grunt, Puck ran forward, head first, knocking the bookcase hard. It toppled over, crashing into another bookcase right next to it, and causing that one to fall over too. That bookcase fell onto the bookcase beside it, starting a chain reaction throughout the library like dominoes. Books and magazines flew into the air, as did the Scarecrow, who was buried beneath them.
Oops,
Sabrina said, as she, Puck, and Daphne dashed toward the doors. Snow was right in front of them, hurrying to the parking lot. Once outside, they found Ms. White leaning against her car and breathing hard. She was obviously unnerved by her encounter with Bluebeard, and was doing her best to calm herself.
Are you okay, Ms. White?
Daphne asked.
Daphne? Snow replied. Yes, I just ran into... Well, we know, Sabrina said. Bluebeard.
Yes, Snow said. He's always had a thing for me, but I...
Wait a minute, are the three of you responsible for all that chaos?
Puck nodded and bowed.
At your service.
Why haven't you returned any of Granny Relda's calls? Daphne asked. She wants to apologize.
Daphne, when you grow up, you'll find that being an adult is complicated. It's not as easy as picking up the phone and saying hi.
First of all, I am grown up, Daphne said. Second, you don't understand. Granny feels terrible about what happened. Mr. Charming begged us to keep it a secret. He said he was doing it for your own good.
How is pretending to be dead supposed to be for my own good? Snow asked. Sabrina and Daphne shared a knowing glance. I wish we could tell you, but he's sworn us to secrecy, Sabrina said.
See, that's the problem, Ms. White said. Everyone is keeping secrets from me, and they tell me that it's for my own good. We're trying to protect you, Daphne said.
Snow White groaned.
Everyone wants to protect Snow White. Well, I'm not a little girl, Daphne. I was fighting my own battles before Billy Charming came along.
There was a long, uncomfortable silence until Snow spoke again.
The three of you should get home. Relda is probably worried sick about you.
Then she turned, got into her car, and drove away. Uncle Jake was thrilled with the information they had gathered at the library. But when Daphne offered to write the letter to Goldilocks, Jake shook his head. He claimed he had made a call to some old friends, and they were sending something that would work a lot better than a stamp and an envelope. In fact, he promised their search would soon be over. When the girls and Puck headed off to bed, Jake was still staring at Goldilocks through the mirror. She was in a boat riding on a canal. A man with a long pole steered her along as she glanced up at the moon. The next morning, Sabrina woke to loud shouting and pounding. She rubbed her eyes and looked around, not surprised to find that Daphne was still sound asleep. She climbed out of bed, slipped on a robe she had hanging from her bedpost, and stomped down the stairs. By the front door, poking his head out of the umbrella stand, she found a creature that looked like it was part dwarf, part crocodile. He gestured to the door.
"There's a man out there," the creature hissed. "He could be dangerous."
He held a walkie-talkie to his face and cried,
"Where's my backup?"
Sabrina looked through the window and saw Robin Hood pounding on the door.
"That's Robin Hood. We know him," Sabrina explained.
"Cancel that backup, people,"
the creature shouted into his walkie-talkie.
"We are back to code yellow. All clear. I repeat, we are at code yellow."
Then he sunk his head back into the stand and disappeared. Sabrina quickly straightened her hair, tightened her bathrobe, and checked herself in the hall mirror. She could just die, letting the handsome lawyer see her in her goofy pajamas and with a serious case of bedhead. But she seemed to be the only one awake, and he kept shouting that there was an emergency. Finally, when she realized nothing would make her look better short of a shower, she opened the door.
"You're not dressed. Kid, you've got to get dressed," the lawyer exclaimed as he barged through the open doorway. "Where is everyone?"
Sabrina was horrified to be called a kid.
"In bed. It's not even 8 a.m, she said, awkwardly pushing her hair behind her ear.
"Well, wake them up. We have to get over to the courthouse now," Robin cried. "The trial is starting today."
"What trial?"
"The trial of the big bad wolf," he said.